Today we begin the final 3 weeks of this old year of grace. And over the next 3 Sundays, we will read all of chapter 25 of St. Matthew's Gospel, which conveniently contains 3 sections. Today we read the parable of the 10 virgins. Next Sunday we will read the parable of the talents. And in 2 weeks, on the solemnity of Christ the King, we will read an account of the last day, when Christ will return in glory to judge the living and the dead, the consummation of all things, described today by St. Paul in our second lesson. The parable of the 10 virgins can sound a bit contrived until we understand a little about Jewish nuptial customs in the time of Christ. Weddings took place in the home of the bride's father. And in small towns and villages, a wedding was not an event just for the 2 families and their friends, but for everyone. Most weddings took place at night, and the last to arrive would be the groom, who would be preceded and announced by his groomsmen. Meanwhile, the bridesmaids, 10 by custom, would, after everything was in readiness, go out of the house to await the groom and his men, and then accompany them into the joy of the wedding feast. Because by that time it was dark and there were no street lights, each of the bridesmaids would carry a lamp and be responsible for providing light for the procession. In this parable, then, Christ himself is the bridegroom, and because his return in glory on the last day will seem delayed after his resurrection, all of his disciples, here represented by the 10 virgins, must remain vigilant and be prepared at all times for his arrival, lest, like the foolish virgins, we be caught unawares and ill-prepared for the wedding feast of the Lamb. The point of this parable is that the essential things in the life of grace cannot be bought or borrowed from another person, no matter how urgent the need may be. I cannot live by the faith of someone else, and I cannot erase my own vices by laying claim to another's virtues. Each of us must stay awake and be ready at all times to give an account of our own lives, because one day, without prior notice, we must do so. The oil for the lamps in this parable stands for the gift of supernatural love and the good works that flow from living according to the law of love. When Christ the bridegroom returns for his bride, the church, each of us will be judged according to our own lives and not the conduct of others. The moment of judgment, though, is not the time to attempt in haste to acquire virtues like faith, hope, and love, which must shape our entire lives. And as the Savior teaches us today, crying out, "Lord, Lord," in desperation will be insufficient. Those who have nurtured a virtuous life and are ready for the bridegroom are described by the Lord Jesus today as being wise. And our first lesson this morning explains something of the beauty of wisdom. The Book of Wisdom is one of the 7 texts of the Old Testament excluded by Protestants from the canonical books of Holy Scripture, primarily because it was written in Greek rather than in Hebrew. The Book of Wisdom was composed by an anonymous author in Alexandria, Egypt, about 100 years before the birth of the Lord Jesus. The text is sometimes called the Wisdom of Solomon, because as a literary device, the author speaks in the voice of the son of David. But the Book of Wisdom was actually composed about 800 years after the death of King Solomon. The unknown author of the Book of Wisdom knew the Hebrew scriptures intimately, but he knew them through their Greek translation called the Septuagint, which is also the version of the scriptures most often quoted by Christ. A central theme of the Book of Wisdom is the radical distinction between righteousness leading to life and unrighteousness leading to death. And those who would seek righteousness and so find eternal life must follow the path of wisdom, a virtue which is personified in the Book of Wisdom as a beautiful lady who has been with God since the foundation of the world. And so our first reading today. Resplendent and unfading is wisdom, and she is readily perceived by those who love her and found by those who seek her. She hastens to make herself known in anticipation of their desire. Whoever watches for her at dawn shall not be disappointed, for he shall find her sitting by his gate. It is precisely this kind of watchful vigilance exhibited by the wise virgins in today's parable, which is an essential mark of all mature and authentic Christian discipleship. Think now of the people you have known in your life whom you consider to have been most wise. What qualities of character, action, and speech testified most eloquently to their wisdom? What suffering, failure, and disappointment did they endure and transcend over time to bring about in them the virtue of wisdom? Such wisdom is a sure sign of the holiness we must have to share in the joy of the wedding feast of the Lamb. But while we can grow in human virtues, including wisdom, through our own efforts to cooperate with God's grace, it is finally divine wisdom in which we must participate by grace through faith to live forever in God's kingdom. And that gift comes not from wisdom acquired or wisdom personified, but from wisdom incarnate, from the one who alone is the power and the wisdom of God, the Lord Jesus Christ.